Musicians, be seated if you'd like. Now, look, seen some of these ministers that have a gift of singing to go with preaching, and I sure wish I had one of those. I do love to sing. I just don't have the ear for it, and don't really have the voice for it. But I tell you what, when I'm by myself, I have a good old time. I just like to sing to the Lord. And something I told my kids on the church this morning. I said, you know what? I said, you have a tremendous gift that you can do yourself. I said, whenever you're at home, if you're in school, no matter where you're at, I said, you can sing to the Lord. I said, He'll come.
Yeah.
And you know what, saints? That's absolutely amazing to me that someone that great would come to somebody so small. But you know what? Even further than them, I look at myself and the mistakes that I've made in my life, even since I've come to the truth of this gospel. Times I've fallen on my face and made mistakes, saints, but you know what? He's there when you just call out on His name and say, God, forgive me. I didn't mean to do that. And you know what? He's right there. Amen. He's right there to wipe all that away and say, you're white. You're clean now. Saints of God, that's amazing grace.
Amen.
Amen. Right. Let's turn our Bibles to Exodus chapter 12. We're reading verse 7. We're going to read through verse 11. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two sideposts and on the upper doorpost of the house wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in the night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs and with the curtains thereof. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. And thus shall you eat it with your loins girded, with your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Go down to verse 26 and 27. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean you by this service? And you shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passeth over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptian and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshiped. This is our head. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. And Father, we count it a privilege to be here, Father. Lord, I'm asking that you'd help me to be sensitive unto your leading, Lord. Father, that I won't say anything that's contrary to your will, Father. Lord, I will be able to say exactly what you want me to say and how you want me to say it, Lord. And God, would you touch this precious people here, Father? They've come, Lord, because not because they want to see me, Lord, because they know that I don't have anything to present myself, oh God. But Lord, they've come here because we believe that you'll meet us here, Father, because your word says you would, Father. Lord, I ask you to speak to every heart in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Saints of God, that's a subject in the gospel today that people don't like to hear anymore, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ.
That's true.
And what I mean by the blood is many say, you know what, I accept the blood of Jesus Christ as a true salvation because, you know what, they don't want to go to hell. But see, the blood goes much further than that, saints. It's something that does a cleaning on the inside. Amen. It's something that will change the desire of a man. You know, they've got men around here by the name of cowboys that can get on a bronco and tame that horse down to where a child could ride on that animal. You know, and through years of experience, they've learned different ways of taming the animal. And maybe they have different ways about doing it. It makes it easier. Some days it's harder. And through experience, you learn how to do those things. But see, man is something different, saints of God.
That's right.
It's something that's got to be tamed. But you know what? There's one way to tame him, saints of God. There's not a lot of different ways. There's one way. And that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. Right. Whenever you come to God in God's provided way, one way, saints, he will tame the heart of a man. A man that's bound by lust. A man that's bound by by evil that wants to kill somebody or steal. It's something that's instilled in his flesh where he automatically, by the nature of him, he automatically lives a sinful life. But God has a provided way that can change that nature of that man. The man that one time would steal from you just as quick as anything. The man that would do harm to you at the first chance will automatically be your brother. And it'll change his desires. And saints of God, it's a gospel that today there's no reality to it. I was coming from the deer camp the other day from the brothers, and it was really hard to leave. I was kind of felt pulled because I wanted to see my wife, but I wanted to stay because I wanted to be with the brothers, and it was kind of a turmoil on the inside. But as we were coming home, there was a man on the radio that I turned on. I was pretty tired that morning, and Brother Hagin was on the radio. And he began to talk about different things in the gospel. And he said, you know what? The thing is, people just need to give more offerings. And as I listened to go a little further, saints, it seemed like that's all it went to, is how you need to give offerings and how you can give your MasterCard, your credit card, and all these things, and God's going to bless you. And I believe I spoke here recently about, you know, I believe God wants us to have a prosperous life. Amen. I believe He does. But saints of God, what He wants more than that is a desire, someone with a heart that will sincerely serve from the depths of their heart. And we're talking here about the Passover. And it was a serious hour whenever death was going to strike the lamb. And saints, God, I want you to get into the reality with me this morning that this isn't just a story in the Bible. This is something that took place. There was going to be death strike the lamb. A judgment was going to come on the earth, and God gave a provided way for the people to escape the wrath of God. God gave a provided way, and people rejected that provided way. And saints of God, God will always send mercy, and then He'll send judgment. I want to ask you, saints of God, has God sent you a warning about something in your heart, and you know God was speaking to your heart on it? That's mercy, saints of God.
Amen.
And if you don't listen to that mercy, and if you don't follow that voice that told you that, there's something going to happen. There's going to be a correction that's going to take place. And Brother Tony said it very well last time he spoke, talking about the rod and the staff. I've never one time had my dad punishing me and say, Dad, I'm absolutely enjoying this. You know what? There were some times I was wondering if I was going to live through it.
Right.
But you know what? I thank God that that happened. Because you know what? In the long run, it got me back to where I am. And you know what? When God will correct you in certain things, saints of God, sometimes it don't feel good. And I'm going to tell you, I may have to say some things this morning, but I want you to know I love you. And I don't say it because I'm mean. I don't say it because I don't like you. I say it because I love you.
Amen.
And saints of God, I'm here to tell you, God has spoke to my heart. I was going through the deer woods the other day, and I asked God, Lord, show me what you want me to speak on. And as I was walking through the trees, God spoke to me just as clear as I'm talking to you. He said, I want you to ask the people to look into my word and ask them, are you becoming more like me, or are you becoming someone you don't even want to be? Saints of God, ask yourself that this morning. Am I drawing closer to God and myself? Am I becoming the Word of God made flesh, or am I becoming somebody I don't want to be? When you look in the mirror, saints of God, are you drawing closer to God? Are you becoming a stranger? Are you becoming somebody you don't recognize anymore? The most powerful thing in the world today, other than the blood of Jesus Christ, is a woman. And all down through Bible, all down through Scriptures, that was Satan's weapon. He used a woman. A woman can be the most powerful thing in the world. A woman can bring a man to his fulfillment, his full potential of what he is. And she can absolutely destroy him. A woman that will not submit to her headship. A woman that will not submit to his vision. A woman that will not humble herself to him. She's like water in that man's blood.
That's right.
Saints of God, if you look down the Scriptures and the children of Israel, they had God in their midst. God was working in their midst, and Satan knew he could not get through them other than a woman. And he got a woman, saints of God, to go out there showing her belly off, and the sons of God saw the daughters of man were fair. Yeah. It's through a woman. If you look at David, David was a man after God's own heart that would follow the Lord. There was a weakness in the man's life, and it was a woman. The most powerful thing. You take Samson, a man that wasn't big in body, but he was powerful in the Spirit of God, conquered by a woman. In today's world, in the storybooks or whatever it may be, they may show it as him being defeated by some muscled up man of authority and machine gun artillery or whatever it may be, but it was a woman. Who would think that somebody so small, somebody so fragile, could be so powerful? Brother Burnham said that there's nobody could stoop as low as a woman. And sisters, I won't leave you down in the mud. Bear with me. Nobody can stoop as low as a woman can. A woman, Brother Burnham even went as severe as to say, was a sexual garbage can. A woman is a woman that as a thing that can has the ability to get under such an anointing that she can commit herself in such a way where she can present herself to lead more souls to hell than rock and roll music, liquor joints, cigarettes, a woman. If you notice down through the message, one of the most powerful things the prophet ever spoke about was a woman. And at one time he said, you know what, he was younger, it was hard for him to stand them. Because he would see how they would go out and be all night with these men and then go home to their husbands. A woman. Saints, whenever you go through the grocery stores, you go to the gas stations, you go down the highway, when you see the billboards on the signs, it's not men. You don't see men on there with hairy chest and hairy legs and remember how nasty it was.
I agree.
It's a woman. And I really believe, saints of God, because a woman tops the church.
Right.
When I worked at Planters here just a few years ago, there were some women there, and they put me in there. My wife was going through some complications, and they put me on day shift for a while. Which was a blessing, but they put me with all women. And that was a curse, almost. You know, being around a bunch of ungodly women can be really tough, especially old women. We ain't got no old women in here, so we ain't got to worry about that. But I remember we was in a break room one day, and I just love to talk about what God's done in my life. It's real to me. And you know what? That's something that it has to be for you. You have to have an experience inside you, and nobody can tell your stories like you can, because you were there. And you know, I can remember I was sitting there at the table with all these women, and I began to talk about what I've seen God do. And you know what? When I talk about healings, oh, tears will flow and people's ready to hear it all. I believe that God does that. When I talk about salvation, oh, praise God, I believe that. But when I talk about the position of a woman, oh my, you better look out. Woman told me this, you know what? I'll tell you why I won't get married, because I'll go where I want, when I want, and I do it how I want to do it. Now, is that the attitude of a woman today, without the Holy Ghost? Amen.
Pretty much, yeah.
And I began to talk to them. I said, you know what? I said, but the grace of God. I said, you see, it's man will present himself in such a way and conduct himself in such a way for her that she will want to do things for him. And it's not a chore, it's not a burden, and I'm sure some of you sisters can agree with me. It's not a burden to serve your husband. It's not a burden to do these things for him as long as he does his part of the deal. But you know what? It's a two-way thing. You know what? A man's got to come in, and trust me, I know. I've been through the road of hard knocks myself. You know, not saying I'm there, but I'm getting there. But you know what? Being the best husband you can possibly be. I'm not talking about being a husband. I'm talking about understanding the needs of your wife and recognizing, you know what? She's my weaker vessel, and she's my body. And you know what? I want to conduct myself in such a way that she'll want to do these things for me. She will want to bless me. And I'm going to ask you, do we have a good headship, saints of God?
Praise God.
I believe we do. We have a good headship that will meet our needs. But you know what? If you had a husband that wouldn't get off the couch and go get work, if you had a husband, you know what, that would make a mess and not clean it up, if you had a husband that won't hold the vision of the household, it's hard for a woman to follow something like that. And I'm telling you what, that'd be hard for a sister. Is if you had a husband that would not hold the vision for the household. And brothers, I'm going to get real serious with you this morning. You know what? That is our position in the household. Is we have got to hold the vision of this word over the house. And we've got to take this word, brothers, and it's our responsibility to take this word through the house of God. And you go through the bedrooms and you start searching the house. You start looking under the coffee table and you circumcise it with this word. I'm telling you something, brothers, that is our responsibility.
Amen.
It is our responsibility to take our house and put it under the token.
Praise God.
I want to tell you something. Do you want God to move in this church, saints of God? Right. That's where it starts at, right there.
Right.
Whenever we will clean our house up, saints of God, with this word, that television ain't got no place in the home, saints of God.
Right.
It was wrong when Brother Brown preached about it. It's wrong today. We've got to kick it out of the house.
That's right.
Amen. I'm your brother. I love you, but I've got to tell you the truth. I want God to move in this church, saints of God. We got one service a week, and you know what? This ought to be the absolute best day of our life. Because we are in the house of God. But you know what? We all have a responsibility in this. It's not just the minister's fault.
That's right.
It's not him that has to be up. You should be up on your knees. You be on your knees and saying, God, speak to my heart because I've got needs. Yeah. I'm telling you what, if you'll do that, God will come on the scene. Man. But you know what? What holds God back a lot of times is our own slackness.
Right.
Because you know what? We allow things in our house and you know it shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
You know it shouldn't. I'll tell you a quick way you can know if you shouldn't be there. Let somebody you really respect in the gospel come to your house. How quick are you to cover it up? If you're quick to cover it up, you better get it out of your house.
Right.
I love you, saints of God. I've got to tell you the truth.
Amen.
You know what? I want God to move in our midst. If you look at the children of Israel, anytime they were obedient to God and they were in one accord with God, God would come on the scene and fight battle after battle. And they would win. They were prosperous in the gospel. They were rich. Maybe they didn't have material things, but they had God. And they did have material things too. But listen to what I'm saying. The world has got their idea of what a success is, and it's materialistic things. And they're great. They're wonderful. But saints of God, the most wonderful thing we could have today is the presence of God.
Amen.
When we have the presence of God, when we go to work, when we go home, wherever we go, we have the presence of God in our life. Because saints of God, there's a rapture coming. We're in the process right now.
Oh, man. Thank God.
I'm going to read you a quote. God, who's rich in mercy and redemption, has two different parts, come out of and entering into. First, you have to come out. Some people want to bring the world in with them, but you've got to come out of the world to enter into Christ. You have to come out of unbelief to enter into faith. There cannot be one thing in your way. You really have to have really genuine faith. You must absolutely leave everything that's contrary to the Word of God behind to enter into faith.
Thank God.
And that was the book of the Ephesians of the Old Testament, Joshua, where Moses represented the law could not save one, but grace could. And here Joshua, the same word, not Jesus, Jehovah saved. And now then, we find out that we have come to another Ephesians, another Ephesus now. Where that in our intellectual denominations and so forth, and all of our educational programs has come to its Jordan. When we have an Ephesians again, we must have an Exodus to come out and to go into for the rapture. Saints of God, it's one thing to come out of denominationalism. It's one thing to come out of those things. But it's another thing to go into the presence of the Lord. When you truly have the revelation of Jesus Christ in your midst. Well, we can become the Word of God. And I was talking about the woman. Brother, when a wife gets married, that's a very serious thing. And I wish we could sit down with every sister in our in the worldwide and just sit them down and talk to them about how serious marriage really is. Because you know what? When a woman receives a man as her husband, she is receiving his name. And not just on the letter, but I'm talking about the life of that man. And that means from that day, when she signs that, she says, you know what, I'm going to marry Johnny here. You know what? That's her headship. And that's going to be the man that's going to be responsible for in the house of holding that the token over that home.
Thank God.
You know, we got to have a man that's got backbone in him that can say, you know what? This stuff ain't coming in my house.
Right.
You got to have a man that says, you know what? These things ain't coming out. And there's a way of doing it, brothers. It's through love. It ain't being just legalistic, so you have to walk on eggshell. But I'm telling you what, it's being led by the Spirit. Where you can take control of your home. And I'm just going to share something with you. You say, Brother Daniel, you know what? If I do that, I won't have a whole lot of friends. If I walk like you're telling me to walk. The closest friend you can ever have is Jesus Christ. You know what? I love my family. And I love my friends that I used to have. I don't love the sinful things they do, but I love them. And you know what? I got a call last night where some family said, Daniel, we bought you family a Christmas present. I said, you did? They said, yeah. They said, we bought you a big TV and computer games for your kids. And they said, we know you didn't have a TV, so we got the whole thing. I said, I'm sorry. It's not coming in my house. They said, why would you do that to your kids? The kids don't understand. I said, but I understand.
That's right.
I understand what those things will lead to.
That's right.
And it's not coming in my house.
Right.
I said, I love you. I said, we can get together. We can visit. We can do those things. I said, I'm sorry. It's not coming in my house. And saying to God, you say, well, that was easy. No, it wasn't. Because you know, in my heart all night long last night, I was thinking, you know what? I didn't want to hurt them. I don't want to be mean to them. But bro, I'm standing for something.
Amen.
I'm standing for something I believe. And you know what? Maybe they don't understand it right now, but one day, if they don't make it in the rapture, by grace of God, I can stand up and say, they were good to me.
Thank God. Amen.
Saints of God, you can't do it for nothing else. Do it for that.
Amen.
Provoke someone to do something good for you. You know what? It would be, I was going through the deer woods the other day, walking by myself, and you know, I don't. All my church members, they live in Arkansas, so we're completely different. And you don't know how much I wish, I say, God, I really wish I had someone that I could just go hunting with. You know, lean against a tree and say, God, I've been trying to serve you from the depths of my heart the best I know how. I said, sometimes the walk gets lonely, Lord. Sometimes it gets hard. You're going up these hills and the spiritual walk. And sometimes it just feels like, you know what, I can just give in just a little bit. But something on the inside says, no.
Right.
That's the grace of God.
Thank God.
You know, Brother Branham talked one time that he had every reason to doubt. You know what? His little baby girl sitting there dying. And his little boy sick. And you know what? The devil come in during that time and say, and all the times you preached the gospel for him. All the times you've done for him, and now the Lord won't even do this for you. And it was a hard time for that brother. But you know what? Something on the inside kept him during that time.
God.
Saints of God, that's the grace of God.
Praise God.
When you go through trials in your life, and you know what? It's easier to quit than it is to keep going on. But something on the inside says, keep going on. Keep going further. I'm telling you, saints of God, we're fixing to go into body change. You know what? I'll have a lot of fellowship when we get there.
Praise God.
I believe that.
Amen.
We're going to a youth meeting, saints of God, where we'll all be young.
Amen.
No back pain there. No headaches there, no runny nose there, none of that there. I'm telling you, that's going to be a good old time, saints of God. And I believe it's going to happen. Do you believe that?
Amen.
I'm telling you what, we ought to get fired up about that, that I'm the bride of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I mentioned the other day, I said, where's my wife? And my wife did that little wave, and we kind of joked about that. But I said, you know what? You should be proud to be my wife. And I should be able to conduct myself in such a way that she can be proud to be my wife. I'm telling you something, the Lord's been good to us.
Amen.
He has been good to us, that's saints right. of God. And you know what? Sometimes a woman, and I don't mean to be bashing a woman, I've got to speak exactly how I'm. A woman sometimes has got to stop being a little baby and grow up and be a woman to that husband.
Amen.
And I'm talking about the bride of Jesus Christ. I don't know why.
Right.
You know what? The Lord has been good to us. And sometimes we can sit in our little seat and say, you know what, I've got this going wrong, I've got this going wrong, I've got this going wrong. We say, you know what, I am married to Jesus Christ. I am married to the one that created the universe.
That's right.
I'm married to the one that can meet every single need. How wonderful is this?
Praise God.
To be proud to be the bride of Jesus Christ. And I was talking about that Prince William last weekend. That's what I was talking about. These are men that have such authority and such a power that they could present something to those people. But instead, they're presenting the wrong thing.
Yeah.
And we, I said, well, God, the woman is the most powerful thing that can be other than a bride, and that's us, answered God.
Exactly.
We can be the most powerful thing on this earth.
That's right.
The Word of God made flesh. Where we can go into a mid-saints of God, and a man can have a seed on the inside of him, and there's a life on the inside of me that I can cross his path. And I live in my life, and that seed will quicken.
Amen.
And life will come forth. The most wonderful thing I've ever seen is a new birth. Where I can see someone change from the inside, where a man has been tamed.
Thank God.
Where he was once drawn away for lust. He was once drawn for these things. But something on the inside changes.
Praise God.
That's the most wonderful miracle we'll ever see, saints of God. Where are the miracles this morning?
Yeah.
I was saying more ago, the children of Israel, as long as they had obedience in the camp, they had victory in the camp. But you let sin get in the camp, and you watch chaos come in the camp.
Yes.
Amen.
Right.
Chaos will come. In the same way the children of Israel, Achan was drawn away those Babylonian garments. There's something inside this old flesh, our worst enemy. You'll see your worst enemy is not your wife or your husband, it's yourself.
Exactly right.
This is my our worst enemy, saints of God, because he'll fight you every day of your life. He'll make you think you ain't got the Holy Ghost because you've been drawn away from this thing. Who knows what I'm talking about?
Amen.
Saints of God, this is our enemy. Achan was drawn away because of this. And because of his drawn away, sin got in the camp and men lost their lives. And you take a family that allows sin to come in the home, God will send mercy. And he'll tell you, get it out of your house.
Mm-hmm.
Get these things right. And listen to me, saints of God, if you don't listen to that, there's a correction coming.
Yes.
It's going to hurt.
Yes.
It's going to hurt a whole lot worse.
Right.
God will send mercy, and then he'll send judgment.
He will.
And sometimes we don't want to go the way he's going to bring it.
Amen.
He will.
Right. Sometimes, as Brother Tony said the other day, you're going to feel like you're going to die. You're going to feel like it's absolutely going to kill you. But it's not because he don't love you. It's because he does love you. He loves us so much, saints of God, and lose you. Noah, I want the presence of God in our midst.
Amen.
And in our home. And there is a provided way. And he was going to... Let's just use a Chevrolet, for instance. If you had a Chevrolet vehicle and you had an electrical problem, so to speak, and you couldn't get this thing to work for nothing, and you tried doing it yourself, you tried diagnosing it, you tried to figure out what's wrong with this thing, the best person to take that thing to get it fixed to is one of me.
Chevrolet, please.
It'd be nonsense to take a Chevrolet to a Nissan dealership and say, you know what, I'm having problems with these. Can you hook your computers up? But you know what, he's going to take his computer out there and he's going to try to plug in and it won't even plug in. It's a completely different deal. But if you'll take it to the one that made it, the one that created it,
right,
the one that knows the ins and the outs,
thank God,
that man can fix it. That man's got the tools and the equipment to stick, plug the right connector right into it and fix the problem.
Praise God.
You say, what in the world are you talking about, Brother Daniel? You go to a doctor today, he's going to say, Mr. Roberts, what is your problems today? What are your symptoms today? You got a knee problem, foot problem? He don't have any of this. And he's going to ask you, what are you feeling? He's going to touch you on your knee. Do you feel that? Does it hurt? And he's going to have to ask you, and the only way he can help Brother Tony, or Mr. Roberts, is if he gives him an honest answer. But Dr. Jesus, he comes, sit down, and says, your name is Anthony Roberts. You have a problem here from your shoulder. This happened such and such years ago. You hurt your elbow right here, and you hurt your knee right here. And he'll be able to go right down the line and tell you exactly what's wrong with you. That's the difference between a man and God. I have no idea what you have need of this morning. I have no idea what you have in your home. But God does.
Amen.
And he will speak directly to you. And he's not going to say, now, do you have this? Do you have that? Okay, does this hurt? God's going to say, you've got it. Get it out. God's going to say, you're slacking here. Get it right. You know what? It would be foolish not to listen to God. Would you agree with that?
That's right.
If you went to the doctor and you were dying of cancer, and the doctor had a little bit of, just a little solution, he says, "Now, Sister Pansy, when you go home, you drink this. Because when you drink it, it's going to be gone tomorrow morning." Now, that'd be wonderful if they had that. Should be foolish not to drink that. Because she went to the doctor. He gave her the medicine. She's got to take it. And saints of God, how much more is it silly when we come to the house of God and we say, "You know what, God, I want you to speak to my heart. I want you to meet my needs. And God give you something." And maybe it's castor oil, like that brother said, and it's plumb nasty. It'd be foolish not to take it.
Right.
I'm still your brother. And I wouldn't say those things to be mean. Except because I love you. Saints of God, when we come to this house, there's reasons why you have to come late. There's reasons when you have to deal with your barn needs or working needs or taking care of things. I say these things not to be mean, not to be hateful. I'm saying it as your brother. Brother Brennan told us, God's simplicity, he told us how to get God to move in the service. And he told us, saints of God, get there 30 minutes early and start praying and start seeking God. And saying, "God, I want you to come on the scene and worship quietly." Did he say that?
Amen.
Do you believe that, saints of God?
Amen. That's right.
And he talked about it. He said, when people don't do that, like I said, there's reasons when you can. I understand that. But you know you can. If you can, saints of God, we ought to be in this house 30 minutes early. And we ought to be seeking God. And saying, "God, I want you to come on the scene. Meet my needs." Now tell me what? That's a slackness on our part. Not God's part.
Right.
Saints, we got one service a week. I want to be able to come to this house of God. And I want to be fed. Amen. I want the Spirit of God to come down and meet the needs. But you know what? If you come in 30 minutes late, you've got to spend 30 more minutes of the service trying to get your mind right.
Right.
So you can receive the Word of God. Then the minister's got to fight through every bit of that. And then before too long, 30 minutes of service, it's time to close. Saints of God, there's a way we can do these things.
Right.
And if we'll do it the right way, we'll get a blessing.
Amen.
You know what? I've changed many brakes in my life on vehicles. And you know what? I did it through my own backyard, back tree experience. And I did it the hard way in a lot of things. I went to work at the dealership and I found the easiest way to do things. And you know what? I seen that and we jacked it up and I could do three times the brakes or four times the brakes in the time. Because I did it the right way. You get more productive when you do it the right way. You know what? It's kind of a comical story, but I think maybe it'll get the point across. There was a man one day that wanted to buy a chainsaw. And he heard of it, and he walked by, and he seen this chainsaw, and he said, "You know what, I think I'll buy that." And he said, "I'll guarantee it'll cook you, it'll cut you 5 rick a day." The man says, "All right." He buys that, and he barely gets a rick a day. Takes it back into the store, and he says, "You know what, this chainsaw, you told me it'd cut me 5 rick a day." He said, "I'm down to 1 rick a day, and I was doing 5 and 6 by myself." And the man said, "Well, I can take a look at it." Took the chainsaw, kept looking at it, said, "Got gas in it?" And, "Yeah, it's got gas in it." And the guy jumped back, he says, "My goodness, what was that?" So the man didn't even have the chainsaw started. And obviously it's a fake story, but it'll get the point across. The man was trying to cut wood with a chainsaw, didn't even have it started. And that's real foolish. But how much more foolish it is when we kind of come into the house of God without the dynamics with it.
That's exactly right.
That's right. More silly than that, saints of God.
Right.
When we'll come here and get the dynamics, because you know what? Whenever the real dynamics takes place, sometimes someone says, "Oh my goodness, what was that?" That's God.
Amen.
That's what that is.
Thank God.
No, Brother Grimm talks about, that's why so many people won't even understand the rapture taking place, is they don't even recognize the presence of God anymore.
That's right.
They're substituting. Right. They think the presence of God is the Holy Ghost monk. As soon as the music stops, the monks go away.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
But you know what? That's when the real presence of God comes.
Yeah.
You know, saints, Jesus was doing miracles, wonderful, all these things. People began to see it, but he said, "Eat my flesh and drink my blood, or you have no part of me." And many walked with him no more.
Right.
Saints of God, many in the message are walking away now. They're saying, "Oh, God's left. The Holy Ghost monks, they're not here anymore." God is here more now than he ever was to me.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Because now it's really the Word. See, and that's why the bride will be so excited right now when she comes to the house of God, because she's getting stimulated by the Word.
Amen.
Amen.
She's hearing the word being preached, and it's a quickening on the inside. You're like, oh my God, I see that. You know why you see it? Because you're a part of it. But if you're not a part of it, you'll never see it.
Yeah.
If I show you a picture, I say, you know what, church? I've got a portrait of this church, the family photo. Now, who is the first person you're going to look for? Yourself. Is that right?
Right.
I know a lot of times we'd be humble. You know, I try to look for my brothers and my sister. You liar. You're looking for yourself. He's like, oh, there I am. But you know what? That's the way it is with us, with this thing right here.
Yeah.
When you got this message that we've got, I am so blessed to have eyes that can see. Because a lot of people just don't have eyes to see it. They don't have an ear. You can't blame them. They just can't see it.
Right.
But I've been blessed, saints of God. You've been blessed. You say, you know what? I can see that. Why can't they see it? It's revelation.
Yeah.
And you know what? When the word is being presented to you, you talk about the rapture. You know why you can get excited about it? You're a part of it. Amen. You can see it. But you can take a same photo to right down the street to the church over here, and if I'm not in that photo, I'm probably going to get real excited about it. Now, it'd be nice. I'm seeing people worshiping the Lord. That's one thing. But really, it makes me excited when I see myself.
That's right.
When I see myself in that photo. Now, Brother Graham talked about the stages of salvation. He talked about justification. I want you young people to listen to me. Talk about justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You know, God will begin to deal with your heart of truly wanting to repent to the Lord. And that's a wonderful thing. When you follow that voice and you say, you know what, I feel God speaking to me, and you repent and you say, God, forgive me. I don't want to live this life anymore, and I want to ask you to come into my heart. That's a wonderful thing.
Praise God.
When you move on into baptism, to get receiving water baptism, that is a wonderful thing.
Yes, thank God.
But a lot of people stop right there and then never go further. But listen to me. That's the time when you begin to listen to the Word of God and you begin to say, you know what? He's saying I shouldn't do this. And you begin to apply that to your heart and your own life. That's sanctification. God's beginning to sanctify your life and set you aside for service. Now, do you want to be set aside for God's service? Amen.
Amen.
But see, that's something you have to do. That's something that the young people have to do. That's something we have to do. We have to listen to that word and apply it to our life to be sanctified. But you know what? You still got the same old desires. And I was talking to my kids this morning. You know, the worst enemy you've got is this guy right here. Because you know what? You'll be told, and you know, I shouldn't do this. Because if I do, I'm going to get a whooping. But sometimes this old guy gets in the way, and he says, oh, but it'll taste so good. That would do that. And you go ahead and step out there and do it anyway. And then you're like, well, you know, I'm already here. I may as well enjoy it. But you know what? You've got a correction coming, and you know you do. And your first instinct with this guy right here is to lie about it. Maybe not do an outright lie, but just a little bit. Maybe persuade the truth just a little bit. Well, I know you said don't get in the mud puddle. I just slipped and fell. You just kind of bend the truth just a little bit. In other words, God tells you don't be doing certain things, and you know what? You got a little too close to it, to the music. And before you knew it, you was out on the dance floor. In the arms of another woman. Or man, whatever you want to be. But you know what? Brother Brown talked about the man that needs someone to go around the mountain for him. And one guy says, you know what? I can go within 1 inch of the edge. And never listen. I can keep going all the way. The other guy says, I can do it in half an inch. I can go around this mountain with a team of horses within a half inch of falling off the cliff. I will be your man to haul your stuff. He asked the other man, how far can you get? He said, I don't know. I hug the wall as close as I can. He said, I may creep along. He said, but I'll get you there. He said, that's the man I want. Saints of God, when it comes to sin and all those things, we don't want to see how close we can get to it, because you might get close enough, and you might not get burned, but you might get burned.
Absolutely.
I remember whenever we was growing up, we used to have those white stoves in the bathroom. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
My grandma and my grandpa told me, you get out of the bathtub, stay away from that stove. Don't even go around it. Stay away from it. Because you know what your natural tendency to do is, when you've got sitting right there and you're trying to get dressed? They told me not to do it. But you know what? I got too close and I sat right on that stove. And you ever seen a cow get branded? I screamed, I hollered. That thing gets hot. We were little, we used to try to spit on it and watch it bubble because it gets so hot. Well, that was right back here. And I'm telling you, it hurts. But you know what? The best way to avoid that is don't even get close to it.
Amen.
Stay away from it. Because if you get close to it, you may go a week, you may go a month, you may go 6 months and never be tempted by it. One day when you get off guard, you'll know it and you'll get burned.
That's right.
God will send you a warning, and then you'll be different. Saints of God, you know your temptations. You know your own personal battles. You got something, stay away from it. You know, that's the greatest part of being a maturity. Is you learn how to avoid certain things. We used to have a dog, name was Major, and he was about, he looked that tall back then, but I'm thinking he was probably about that tall. I was pretty little. Dad always told us, he said, you know what? That's a good watchdog, but if you get close enough, he's going to bite you. And me and little kids, you think you know more than your parents do at times. You know, dad just don't have the experience. And of course, I'm 6 years old. A lot of experience can accumulate in that little bit of time in your mind, you know. And God told me, Eric to God, my dad, go like God. He said, don't go around that dog. Don't even go around him. He said, because if you do, you're going to get bit. And one day, I thought I knew more than dad did. Dad gave me the warning. He told me, and you know what? I was able to get around that dog and never got bit. He can wag his tail at me. And a couple days go by, and I keep going a little closer to him. And then I got to where, you know what? I'm starting to tame that old dog. You think you got a dog tamed, and that's when he's going to bite you. I said, you know what? I've got him tamed. Dad said stay away from there. But Dad just don't know. I know my strengths. I know my abilities, and I know how far I can go without getting hurt. And I kept getting a little closer, and I began to get dog food. And he was chained on a big old log chain. He's a big dog. And I'd sneak up there and give him food. Never had a problem. But one day, saints of God, I got over and I said, you know what, I'm going to give him some mushrooms and dog food. This guy, he's going to love this. And I got real close to the fence. There was a fence right here. And I got real close to hitting that, and he reached out and bit me right on my forehead and pulled me underneath the fence. And if you look on my forehead, if you ever talk to me, there's a big scar on my forehead. That's what it's from. That dog gripped me, he pulled me underneath that fence, and he began to tear me to pieces. And my brother saved my life. That's good to have brothers. I was under there, and I'll tell you what, it's wonderful to have a brother that'll help you in a time of need. But you know what? My brother walked over and grabbed my feet, and he began to pull me away from that old dog, and began to clean me up, and he began to pick me up, and took me back to Mama. He started holding me up, and you know what? I was limp, and I was hurt. During that time, I didn't need someone to beat me down. I need someone to help me get back up.
That's right.
But you know what? I could have. That dog could have been tearing me to pieces. I could have. Get away from here. I got this thing. Dog tearing my face up. You say, you're crazy. This man's trying to help you, and you're going to let that dog eat you to pieces, and you're going to say you got it under control? But how about the spiritual?
Yeah.
Right.
That's you know the devil's tearing you to pieces.
Right.
And he's got a hold of you, and you just can't let you can't make him let go. And you've got a brother to come to you and say, you know what, I'm here to help you. Let me pull you away from this dog. And he says, I've got this under control. That's silly.
That's right.
Say, help me, brother. Help me, sister.
Thank God.
Help me get away from this devil's trying to bite me. You know an alligator? They'll hold his mouth shut with a rubber band. But if you ever let him get that mouth open, it's like 3,000 pounds of pressure. That's the same way it is for the devil. You know, as long as you keep the devil's mouth shut and don't listen to him, you can hold his mouth shut with two fingers. But it seems like if you ever let the devil get a hold of you, it's hard to get him to let go.
That's right.
Right.
You ever been bound on, you know what I'm talking about.
I've been there.
But God can send a brother. He can grab your feet and say, you know what? You need a little help here. Let me help you.
Praise God.
Why don't you say, thank God. And God loved me so much, He sent my brother my way.
Yeah.
I know what it is to be bound. I know what it is to be free. I'm telling you what, it's good to be free. It's good to be able to have liberty in your heart and a clear conscience to pray. And I'm going to stop right here for just a minute. You know, your conscience is something the devil will fight on he'll beat on. Because if he can ever get you to have a guilty conscience, he can't pray.
Right.
If you've got one little bitty thing in your conscience, and you know it's there, and it's, you know legally you can do it. Legally there's nothing wrong, but in your heart you know what ain't right.
Right.
Try praying when you've got that in your conscience, you'll never get there.
Thank you, Jesus.
You know what? That's the thing that a lot of times will hold somebody from the presence of God is something that amounts to nothing, honestly. It's a little bitty thing that means nothing. But you hold on to it. And it'll beat you down, saints of God. You can't pray. You can't seek God. A little bitty pebble. And we're getting ready to close in just a few minutes. When I worked at the dealership, there was this big $60,000 truck, $65,000 truck, it was a 5500 that come through. And this thing, everyone was talking about, this is a tough machine. It's like a tank. It's unstoppable. But you know what ended up happening to that big old truck? I'm talking about a truck that can't be stopped. I was doing the service on it, and I began to check the rear end on it, and I found shavings all inside this rear end of this big truck that was like a tank. And obviously they needed to do some repairs, and we took that thing apart. And you know what caused that big, monstrous truck to fall apart? It was a pebble. It's about the little black spot in your eye. That's how small the pebble was. And that little bitty pebble caused that big $60,000 truck to fall to pieces. Something that's absolutely unstoppable, and the littlest thing got in the way. And because that little thing had its way in, it destroyed the truck. And the devil is a little bitty guy, saints of God. He is a little bitty guy, and one of these days we're going to say, this is the guy?
Right.
This is the little pipsqueak that caused all the problems of the world? This is the little guy that's... And I could have whooped him with my arm behind my back. But yeah. You know what? He's powerful when we let him be.
Thank you,
it's almost like a mouse standing in front of a lot. He's got his big old muscles out. He's scary. But you know what? When you take the lot and you start walking through that old mouse, that old shadow gets smaller.
Oh, thank you.
Before too long, that shadow turns to nothing and you're standing over the devil and saying, devil, where you at now? Because this will take away every bit of darkness.
That's right.
Every bit of it.
That's right.
And I don't care what it is. That's the thing that Satan will bind you with is fear.
Yeah,
he'll bind you with fear and say, you know what? You're going to lose your loved ones. You're going to lose them. You're going to lose this. Take this right here, saints of God. And you shine over that and say, it's a promise.
Right.
I've got a token. I've applied the token. The word of God says they're mine. Not a hoof's going to be left behind. Right. Shine this over them, saints of God. You got financial problems? Shine this over. I paid my tithes. I've given my offerings. I've helped an attendant. God's going to meet the need. See if God don't meet it. I don't care what. If you've got sickness, saints of God, shine this over.
Amen.
When my back, I'm going to tell you what, fear hit me strong when they showed me on the deal and said, you herniated your back again. And they told me, he warned me about it. He said, if it does it again, he said, you're going to get screws in your back. He said, you will not be the same. He said, they're going to have to cut all the way up your back. He said, it's going to happen. He said, I'm not playing with you. I'm telling you. If it happens again, he said, you're going to have the surgery. And I'm telling you what, fear hit my heart when I was standing in the shower and my back went completely out. I mean, I'm telling you, it hurt bad, saints of God. And I made it to my bedroom and stumbling and I just laid on the bed and I was hurting so bad, tears going out of my eyes, fear come across my mind. Fear, saints of God. And I began to remember what the doctor said. You're going to have surgery in your back. You're going to have the screws. You're going to have these things. It's not a maybe. You're going to get it. You know, and I was laying on the bed and I was thinking to myself, I don't want this. And that old shadow, that old mouse got so big, I was scared to death. And I just kind of hollered at my wife. I said, I'm hurt. And I said, help me up. And she said, you're hurt. You've herniated it again. I said, no, I didn't. I'm healed. I began to take this word with all the strength I had, saints of God. And I didn't even feel like I could lift my Bible up. But I said, I am healed. I'm healed. Profess this word, saints of God. I'm healed.
Amen.
And I'm telling you what, this old body began to fall in subjection to me.
That's right.
Thank you, Jesus.
I couldn't even raise up. My back was like this. And I said, help me up. And she's tried to pull me. And I just screamed real loud. And I sweat coming down my face. I was hurting so bad. My hands were shaking. I said, I'm healed. She said, I'm calling the doctor. I said, no, you're not. I said, I am healed. And I'm telling you, saints of God, by the grace of God, my back went straight. And I felt a warmness come down my back. And she said, we got your little doctor. I said, no, you get my walking shoes. We're going walking.
Thank God.
I got my shoes on and I started walking, saints of God. I walked all the way to the dollar stores about a mile that way and a mile back. And I felt good. Every step of the way, I said, thank God I'm healed.
Praise God.
Thank God I'm healed. You know what? Other people, my aunt, my uncle, all them said, you're stupid, you're crazy, you're hurt, you need to go have the surgery. I said, no, God's word says I'm healed.
Right.
You know what? The world says you're crazy. You think you're going in a rapture? Look at you. You've been here for 40 years after the prophet and you're still here. God said, I'm going in a rapture.
That's right.
And you know what? You may not feel like it, but the best thing to do after you profess it is start walking. Put your walking shoes on. You start walking this gospel. And you start walking through and you say, you know what? I'm the bride of Jesus Christ. I am the Word of God. And that clock may be going to midnight. And that man from the butcher shop said, you know what? I'll be here at 12 o'clock. And you know, you got all the sisters making fun of you. He said, look at your dress. Look at her standing there. She thinks he's going to come back for her. He knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Praise God.
You know what? He told her, he said, you know what? I'll be there.
Praise God.
You just get your garments on. You get your garments on and you be ready because I'm going to come get you. And no matter how ridiculous you may feel, saints of God, you profess that I am the bride of Jesus Christ.
Amen to God.
And you start walking that and you see if God don't come in the midst. Won't we all stand? God wants us. He wants. One of the greatest things a man can have is hear his wife brag about it. You can be the most beat down guy, don't feel like nothing. You listen to your little wife talk about something. I remember one day I come home from work. I was tired, had a terrible day, worked hard, didn't really make a whole lot of money, didn't feel like. And when I got to the house, I felt that low. And as I said a while ago, the woman takes the image of the man. I remember I got inside that house and I felt just beat down. I walked in there and I sat down at the table and dinner was ready, washed up. And my wife began to brag on me. She said, I've got the best looking husband in the world. All of a sudden, my shoulders went. He's got such broad shoulders. Oh, shoulders got the dripping back. And Malachi said, Daddy, I bet you worked so hard, didn't you? Well, yeah, I did kind of work kind of hard. And it was Hannah. She said, Daddy always works hard. He always works hard. And I'm telling you what, my head began to swell a little bit. I began to feel real good. And you know what? I felt energized. And when they make me feel good, they're going to feel good. Because you know what? When Daddy's in a good mood, everybody's going to be in a good mood. Because Daddy's going to do something. I can't stand a dull moment. I've got to do something. And that's the way it is with God. You want blessings in your life? Make God feel good. You want God to work in your life? Put Him in the position He deserves to be in your home. Lift Him up. Talk about Him. Talk Amen. About how big God's muscles are.
Amen.
Listen to that song, How Great Is Our God? I believe we got a big God, saints of God.
Amen.
And I believe if we will talk about the muscles of God, we'll see the muscles of God. If you talk about the healing of God, you'll see healing of God.
How great is our God? How great is His word? He's the greatest one that ever was heard. He rolled back the water of the mighty Red Sea. Yeah.
God, saints of God.
Yeah,
and I believe we ought to be the proudest people on the earth, be able to worship God the loudest. You know what? There's a lot of churches that are worshiping right now. We ought to be able to worship the loudest.
Amen.
From
Him.
Not with their mouth, but from right here, worshiping in spirit and in truth. And I want to ask you, as we sing a song, if anybody has need of prayer, I'll be glad to pray with you. Saints of God, I want you to listen. If you don't listen to nothing else, listen to this right now. Don't let the devil bind you. Because if you are allowing the devil to come in your home and tear it to pieces, or to demolish your daily walk, you're walking under your privileges. Because every chain's been broken. And if you've got a need this morning, we'd be glad to pray with you. We've got to join in prayer with you. And I'm telling you what, we'll have victory. Because there's not a reason in the world we shouldn't have victory every day of our life. In every avenue of your life. If you've got fears, won't you confess it to somebody? We've got to pray with you.
So glad at yours, Lord. So glad at yours. So glad your mercy has followed me. So glad you found me and set me free. Such a way that it makes it very easy for you and I to be lukewarm.
Right.
And that's what we've got to break out of.
Yeah.
That's what you and I are fighting and struggling for right now. We know that in our own ways we are lukewarm. See? Now the world, we could be compared to the world and church, and people would say we're on fire because we believe the word way beyond what they do. But in our own walk, when we look at ourselves, we know there's a tightening up of the belt that we want to do. That we know the Holy Spirit is drawing us to do that. Praise and so God. We would look at ourselves and say, well, yeah, I have some lukewarmness that I need to get rid of. And so, but that's why. It's because this world we live in is so, remember, it's Brother Branham, a prophet, called it Satan's Eden. It's been made in such a way that it just makes it so easy for us to be
religious, to be somewhere in the middle and not be on fire. And that's the fight that we must have. Brother Dan was mentioning the token. The token is for the family. And so, you know, you want to, I feel like that's the direction the Lord is going to focus on for a while, is upon the leadership of the home, leadership in general, but the applying of the token is not just for the individual, but it's for the whole household. And it does make a difference in church.
Yeah.
The homes is what makes the church.
Exactly.
So the leadership of the homes, what takes place there, does come out here. And so I know I've been pondering on that all week long. And I was pondering on the scripture where Jesus said, they of your own household, every one of us have had to say no to our families. Maybe not in our own homes, but to our loved ones and our brothers or sisters or parents or whatever. But he said, you know, they of your own household would be your enemies. And it's for the most part, people aren't going to say, well, you know, I don't like you because you're a Christian. It's not that, but it's the principles that you know that God leads you to stand for, like Brother Daniel. And he knows the Holy Ghost is saying, no, you don't bring a TV in this house. So he has to turn to a family that he loves. We all have to do this. And turn to people we love and we want to touch their lives. We have to say no to them because we stand for principles that is delivered to us by the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit. And so that's why it'll be so tough. It'll come right down to your very own household. That sometimes you have to say, no, we stand for principles that's by the Holy Ghost, by the Word of God, and you just have to stand for it. And so, you know, if we're not willing to forsake everything in this world and follow Him, the Scriptures let us know that we're not worthy, right? And so we want to surrender to Him. And that's the fight that we have.
But
I think this morning's sermon was very timely.
Amen.
And may you go with that in your heart. Take what God has given us today and let it work on you. Let it mold and make you. We are clay. He is the potter. And the only way that clay can be changed is when there is a pressure from that potter's hand that moves upon it.
Right.
And that clay has to give way to it. And clay can be in a condition where it don't want to give way. It doesn't want to mold, and he'll have to work with it. But you understand what I'm saying? It takes pressure from our Father to get us to be what we need to be. So we want to be more like Jesus, but it's going to take changes in our lives. So anyway, God bless you. It's been good this morning. I just want to remind you that Ben Craven is coming to be with us December 15th and 16th. That's a Saturday night, Sunday morning. And I believe that we will be able to have communion at that point. So we're going to plan on Saturday night, the 15th, having communion service. And so if you have to drive a distance or whatever, I think we'll try to have the service fairly early in the evening. So we have time for that, and you'll be able to get home and that sort of thing. But it needs to be, communion service needs to be in the evening or in an afternoon. It needs to be evening is what it should be, so we want to do that, and I think everything will be ready at that point, so let's just remember that, and then let's bow our hearts for prayer and get ready to go to service. Lord Jesus,
I reach out to you.
How great, Lord,
God,
your word.
Lord,
just some words spoken in a very timely moment, Lord, it can just move mountains.
A few good things.
We see that you do that so wonderfully, Lord. We accept the provisions that you have for us, Lord. What has been spoken to us today would deal with each one of us in our homes, Lord. And I pray, God, that you would give us the grace, Lord, to accept these things and to put them into action. Lord, not to go from this place and let our jobs and our daily activities to lull us to sleep, Lord. But may we go and be a doer of the word that we have heard today. God, I pray that you would just anoint us to fight these battles. Lord, not one of us in here wants to be a people that's lukewarm. We want to be on fire for you, Lord. We want to be your bride, Lord. We want to be a good expression of you. Lord, as I heard it recently spoken, that you will defeat the devil in this day by a woman, the bride of Christ. Lord, that's the people we want to be. So, Lord, we surrender to you and ask God as we go from this place that you bless our walk in you and draw us closer to you, closer to one another. Ask in Jesus' name. God bless you, saints. You're dismissed in the name of